Hello, I'm David Whetstone, and you're listening to member-supported WPFW Washington.
Welcome. This is Joni with To Heal DC. We're going to be talking about a special Freedom Highway getting ready to happen very shortly in honor and in tribute to Mumia Abu-Jamal and other political prisoners. I am happy and honored to have two very special guests with me for the entire hour. We're going to spend the hour talking about this Freedom Highway that's coming our way soon. I'd like to welcome Larry Hamm, who has become a frequent guest on my show and other shows here in WPFW. Larry Hamm from New Jersey. Actually, his mother was born and raised in Washington, D.C. Larry is the chair and founder of the People's Organization for Progress, which was established in 1982. He's an activist in New Jersey, as we will hear, works closely with Ross Baraka, New Amiri Baraka, can be heard on WBAI, our sister station, often, including Fridays at 7 p.m. In that hour, 7 to 8 p.m. And Larry's going to be telling us what's going to be happening starting next week. And also joining Larry is Steve Bernhardt. And I'm going to ask both Larry and Steve to introduce themselves. Steve is very much involved with organizing this march for Mumia, Long March for Justice, that we're going to be spending the hour talking about. But let's start with each of our guests introducing themselves a little better than I just did. So welcome, Larry. Tell people a little bit about yourself before we start to talk about what's about this very important March for Justice.
Well, good morning, Joni, and good morning, Steve. I'm glad we could all get together, and I love your themes, your theme song. We got to give all power to the people by That's the right. Chi-Lites, by the Chi-Lites. I remember that song. But my name is Larry Hamm. I'm chairman of the People's Organization for Progress, a grassroots all-volunteer organization that works for racial, social, economic justice and peace. And as you said, Joni, POP is now observing its 43rd anniversary since our founding. And we work on a variety of issues that affect Black people, working, poor people, the masses of people in general here in this country. And I give it over to Steve now.
Before we go to Steve, I just want to mention Larry. I was happy to hear Larry on for an entire hour. I think it was about 2 weeks ago with my friend Fahima Sek on Wednesday at 9 a.m. I don't know if you remember the date, Larry. I believe it was 2 weeks ago, but it was an outstanding interview for an entire hour with Fahima, just really talking about Larry, his entire life, his achievements, and I would recommend people go back and listen to it. It was a great interview.
Yes, and let me say on the air, thank you to Fahima for that wonderful opportunity to talk about not only my own personal history, but more importantly, the current activities of the People's Organization for Progress. And I also want to say, Joni, I was born in Washington, D.C. I was born at Columbia Women's Hospital.
Wow.
And yes, as well as what you mentioned, my mother being born and lived all of her life in Washington. She passed away 2 years ago at Howard University Hospital.
Mm, wow. So again, I would encourage people to go back into the archives. It should be up there for probably a couple of months. Wednesday, 9 a.m., I believe it. Do you remember, Larry? I think it was maybe 2 weeks ago on Verner Avery Brown's hour there, which Fahima does once a month. So thank you, Fahima, my fellow buddy from New York City. So, okay, let's jump now to Steve. Steve, introduce yourself and welcome to join us. Perhaps this is your first time here with us on WPFW.
Yes. Well, good morning, Joni and Larry. Joni, thank you for the opportunity to share this platform. My name is Steve Bernhout. Lifelong resident of New Jersey and a member of the People's Organization for Progress. I know you discussed WBAI before, and listener sponsor WBAI Pacifica is where I owe my political education to.
Yes. So we thank you for the work that you're doing, which we're going to be spending the hour talking about. So let's jump back to Larry. Larry, maybe you could start with a brief overview, which eventually will be in a public service announcement. But to start with, just briefly tell us what's going to be happening very soon with this long march.
Very soon, in about 10 days. We will begin the long march for Mumia, to free Mumia Abu-Jamal. We're going to begin on November 28th in Philadelphia. And over the course of 12 days, we're going to march to Frackville, Pennsylvania, where Mumia Abu-Jamal is being held in captivity at SCI Mahanoy. And We plan to cover about 8 miles a day. The total march is 103 miles. And we're having this march to demand justice for Mumia, freedom for Mumia, an end to medical neglect. This particular event was sparked in response to the ongoing medical needs of Mumia that are not being met by the prison. In fact, he is in dire straits, possibility that he could lose his sight if he doesn't receive ongoing eye care and eye surgery. So we're doing this to highlight his particular situation, but more than that, to demand justice for all the elders that are behind prison walls and who may be suffering from medical neglect. We're demanding justice for all political prisoners, not just Mumia, but Imam Jamil El-Amin and others. Jamil El-Amin, for those who may not know, I know this audience probably knows, but that's Brother H-Rap Brown, who was a leader in the Black Liberation Movement during the 1960s. And we want, of course, freedom for Mumia Abu-Jamal and to bring him home. And I want to say for me personally, in addition to these demands, I'm marching personally for justice for all of those who are unjustly imprisoned across the country. So many are there who should not be there, and many are there who are being unjustly treated. So that's a pretty good summation. I'll leave it to Steve, and I want to, you know, publicly give credit to Steve Bernhout. He really is the engine, the initiator and the engine driving this project, and he deserves much credit for getting this thing rolling. And then other folks in the movement have given much needed support, and I want to say thank you to them also.
Absolutely. And before we jump to Steve, I don't have a calendar in front of me, but November 28th, what day of the week is that?
That's a Friday, November 28th.
And
we're marching until Tuesday, December 12th.
Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry. It's till December 9th. So we're starting in Philly on Black Friday, which is November 28th. And when we arrive at SCI Mahanoy on December 9th, that's the anniversary of the date that Mumia 42 years ago was arrested.
Wow. And of course, the Friday, November 28th is the day after Thanksgiving. So that's a good day to start. So Steve, tell us a little bit about what inspired you to pull this together. It's quite a significant activity that's going to be taking place.
Well, along with my political education, listening to Pacifica, I would hear the voices of Mumia, and I'd started reading about Mumia, the case, and his books, and started to get involved in the movement to free Mumia decades ago. And as Larry said, the impetus for why we're marching in winter now is because of the urgent need for healthcare to prevent any vision loss or any further vision loss. But when we were out at an action in Pennsylvania on this July 3rd, there was a lot of community support. That happened to be the time of the waste hauler strike, and they were being supported by the teachers union. And when we go through the streets, we had a lot of support for Mia. And then the thought came to mind, we know that Philadelphians know the criminal justice system and all the abuses and racism that go on there in Philly with the police and the system. But what do people further out in the state really know about Mumia? So we wanted to raise public awareness by marching across the state and trying to bring greater public awareness so we can finally bring justice to Mumia and to the issues at large, the medical neglect, the age, you know, because of the draconian tough on crime laws, the prison population is aging. And a lot of us, and I speak as a middle-class white man, grew up only knowing the system of mass incarceration and not really considering that there could be another reality. You know, when something is so ubiquitous around you, you don't necessarily see the trees through the forest. But as far as the aging population, the Vera Institute has done a study that prisoners over the age of 55, between 55 and 60, there's a 2% chance of recidivism. And over 60, there's statistically negligible, 0% chance. So, you know, one of the simple solutions would be to, they're no danger to the society, to release our aging prisoners, you know, put them back, bring them back to the community, our fathers and mothers, aunts and uncles, and use that money for reentry programs for at-risk youth and stop feeding the system.
Absolutely. And I just want to say, of course, many PFW listeners know that we here at WPFW talk a lot about Mumia, and I can think of three shows in particular that listeners would be hearing about and will be hearing about, I'm sure, this upcoming March, and that is Voices with Vision, Tuesdays at 9 a.m. with Netfa and Craig do a lot of coverage about Mumia. And of course, Crossroads with Roach Brown at 10 a.m. I'm sure Roach will be wanting to discuss this upcoming march as well, as he talks about, he is returning citizen, talks about the issue of prisons every Tuesday at 10. And definitely The Collision on Thursdays at 10 a.m. with Dave Zirin. Dave has recently made several trips to visit Mumia and has had long conversations with him. And I'm sure at some point we'll be probably publishing what those discussions. So those are at least three shows where you'll be hearing more about what's going on with Mumia and this march. So let's get back to the details of the march. And Larry, maybe you could, for people who may want to join, I'm sure there will be some people who, such as yourself, who make the journey for the entire 103 miles. But I'm sure there'll also be people jumping in at various on various days. Perhaps you or Steve can kind of walk through the physical places that you'll be, or, you know, a general idea where you'll be each day, starting with Friday, November 28th. You'll be leaving from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, so we'll be gathering at 9 a.m. on Friday in front of Uncle Bobby's Cafe and Bookstore on Germantown Avenue in Philadelphia. We'll have a rally and press conference. And that day is a 7.1-mile march, basically on Germantown Avenue and Germantown Pike, to Miles Park, which is in Lafayette Hill. And we'll have a community post-Thanksgiving dinner between 1:30 and 5:30 to discuss with the marchers how the day went and what people can expect going forward. And as Larry said, it averages about 8 miles a day. We do have a couple long days and we do have a couple shorter days. But like day two, we continue on Germantown Pike through Eagleville.
And I'm sorry, keep in mind that a lot of listeners may not know these details about Philadelphia, but keep going.
So it's critical that people who are interested go to marchformumia.org. That's marchformumia, either the number or the word, marchformumia.org. And there'll be tabs that list everything from the daily walk itineraries to the events. We're having press conferences along the way at Berks County Courthouse in Redding and Schuylkill County Courthouse in Pottsville. We're meeting on a Saturday at Muhammad Ali's training camp in Orrisburg. For a tour of that facility. And actually, Dave Zirin will be joining us there through the end of the March. So we do have events planned throughout the March. And we're making our way through Berks County to Schuylkill County up to Frackville.
Okay, so again, for those of us who don't know, if you could just give us, and maybe Larry could do this, a general idea. Will you be in Pennsylvania for most of the march? Where will you be winding up? Will you still be in Pennsylvania? Some marches come down to D.C., but will the march be pretty much in Pennsylvania for the whole time?
Correct. The correctional facility at SCI Mahanoy is in Frackville, which is Schuylkill County, Pennsylvania. So we'll be through Pennsylvania the entire time.
Okay. So if people want to join on certain days, they can go to that website.
Yeah, there's the opportunity to join for single days. There's for the days that we have early afternoon events, there's potential to walk shorter distances just up to the event space. And the last day is structured as a roughly 3 mile walk. So people, can all join on the way to the correctional facility.
Okay, and tell us a little bit about the response so far. I gather you're getting a lot of positive feedback.
Yeah, so one of the critical things we ask is for people who'd like to participate and, volunteer or are interested in the act in this march, that they go to the website. There's downloadable flyers which they can share on their social media because we want to get the word out as best we can. But we've had inquiries from California, from Ontario, Canada. We've had people from France and Germany that are going to try and join. So this is taken off quite a bit. We're getting some great response. And I again encourage people who are interested to go to that marchformumia.org. Their sign-up pages for the participants and the volunteers to help out in any way they can. And if you're not in the area, again, share it on your social media, and there's a way to donate to help subsidize some of the other people that are marching.
That's terrific. And I think we're going to have time to open up the phone lines, which we don't usually do on this show. But we can give it a try today, 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. If you have a question or a comment about this upcoming March for Justice. And Larry, I understand you're going to be marching the whole time.
I'm going to try. I'm going to do my best. For those who don't know, I'm 71 years old. I'll be 72 next month. And I'm going to do my best to march every day for the 103 miles. But I want to say this. We want as many people as possible to join us. I don't care if you can only march a mile, or maybe you can't even march. Maybe you can be there to send us off. Maybe you can be at the end to greet us as we finish triumphantly, or maybe you can meet us along the way, be one of the volunteers to help refresh us and cheer us on as we continue that march. There's something for everybody to do, whether you're a young person, middle-aged person, senior citizen. And I hope that there are members of our religious community who are listening, of the various faiths. I'm not just talking to any one faith. This is we feel this is not just a moral action, it's a spiritual action. You know, we're going to be judged about how we treated the prisoner. You know, Jesus says this in his teachings, you know, how we treat the least of these. And as we march for Mumia, we're marching for all of those who are unjustly incarcerated. Let me say a word about Mumia Abu-Jamal. He has been in prison now 44 years and a valiant struggle has been waged politically to get him out. That struggle is not over. You know, I know at one point in previous decades, you know, it was a major issue for some, but things seem to have slowed down a bit. It's time for us to step on that accelerator and get this car moving at, you know, the speed limit and continue our fight to get him out of jail. And, you know, Mumia is such a wonderful person. You know, Joni, I met with Mumia. I met Mumia in prison. Mm-hmm. I went to SCI Mahanoy about a decade ago, and I was able to meet with Mumia. I've talked to him periodically over the years. Believe it or not, he used to call into our pop meetings. We would be having meetings. Yes, we have meetings of the People's Organization for Progress. And, you know, maybe Joanna Fernandez would be there, somebody, and the phone would ring. And Mumia was calling us from the prison. You know, he's spoken at our meetings, you know, electronically. He's spoken at some of our events. I was even on Amy Goodman's show once, Democracy Now, and he called in there. So this is an ongoing struggle. The People's Organization for Progress, we've been working around this issue for many years now, many, many different campaigns. There was a movie theater in Newark that was scheduled to show a film about the life of Mumia, and then some very wicked people got involved and, you know, tried to stop the movie theater from showing the film on Mumia. Wow. So we had to have protests there. I don't know if you remember the case of Marilyn Zuniga, who was an Orange school teacher. There's a city almost right next to Newark, Orange, New Jersey. People from Jersey will know what I'm talking about. There's Orange, there's East Orange, there's West Orange. Orange, New Jersey, there was a Latino school teacher there. Her name was Marilyn Zuniga. And her children learned about Mumia Abu-Jamal, and they decided, they heard that he was sick, you know, because he's been suffering for quite a while in prison, and they wanted to send him get well cards. And they sent him get well cards. Joni, that turned into an international incident.
Wow.
People all over the country were talking about it because the news media zoomed right in on it. And eventually, this very young, just starting out, very committed school teacher, very competent school teacher, Marilyn Zuniga, was ultimately fired by the Orange Board of Education. We waged a struggle to get her reinstated for several years. So, you know, we've been on this off and on for quite some time.
Absolutely. And of course, as we have on WPFW, many of us will remember Askia Muhammad, who for quite a while did, I think it was weekly, sharing some of Mumia's discussions. So PFW has been standing with Mumia for many, many years as well. You're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM. This is me, Joni, with To Heal DC. Today we are spending the hour talking about the upcoming Long Walk for Justice in honor of Mumia Abu-Jamal to get him out of prison once and for all, as well as all political prisoners. We started the show with these staple singers. We're going to go back and listen to a little bit more of that song, Freedom Highway, which, of course, the walkers will be on, a Freedom Highway for Mumia. So let's hear it. Okay, let's continue on with the discussion. And again, the phones are open at least for the next 15 minutes or so. So if you want to call in, 202-588-0893, any comment you'd like to make about this upcoming march, about the situation in this country. And as we often say, I believe Washington, D.C. has the highest number of incarcerated people, not only in this country, but possibly one of the highest in the world. We have far too many people locked up, and of course, it's not getting any better. So that's why this march is so important, not only for Mumia, but to really shed light on in this so-called United States, we have far too many people locked up. Of course, the majority, certainly in D.C., are African-American people. But let's continue discussing what's going to be happening. Tell us, Larry, are there going to be a lot of people marching from New Jersey? Or tell us about some of the people you know who are going to be involved, or either in New Jersey or in New York.
Well, we're going to have a number of people marching from New Jersey, I believe New York City, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, from the towns along the way. We have a website up, and we're getting a good response on the website from people who want to march, from people who want to donate, from people who want to volunteer. So the good news is we won't be walking alone. You know, we'll be walking together along that Freedom Highway, as the song said that you just played.
Yes.
And we want folks to come out. And I hope folks from the Black community in Philadelphia and in Washington, D.C., you know, D.C. not that far from Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Now.
That's right.
D.C. folks, come on up and meet us and walk with us. And, you know, if you have your Mumia posters, bring your Mumia posters. But if you have pictures of loved ones from your family who are incarcerated and you feel that this would help draw attention to their situation, bring their pictures and carry their pictures as we march on this freedom highway from Philadelphia to Frackville. You know, this whole area here, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, what do y'all call it? DMV, District of Columbia, District mm-hmm. of Maryland and Virginia.
Yes.
All of y'all, come on and join us and let's make this an event to be remembered, an event that will have a major impact toward getting Mumia the kind of health care that he needs, getting him out of prison and drawing attention to the plight of all of those who are behind the walls in prisons throughout this country.
Absolutely. And of course, as you said, Larry, Philadelphia is not that far away. So for people who can jump in a car, or maybe there can be a group of people jumping in cars, they can come for the day and come right back to the D.C. area, because it really isn't too far. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to go because I'm caretaking for a friend who's very ill, but hopefully other people will be going from the WPFW family, and I'm sure this will be featured. This walk will be featured on at least three other shows that I can think of. So stay tuned for PFW to hear more. And Steve, you shared with me that, of course, our own Mimi Rosenberg, who is on 7 p.m. this evening, every Monday evening, Building Bridges, is going to be talking about this today as well. So Steve or Larry, tell us a little bit about what's happening on Mimi's show tonight.
We'll be on this evening with Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio and Dr. Ricardo Alvarez, who's been a longtime medical consultant and advisor to Mumia. So it should be a good program. We'll cover the legal, the medical, and the march. But before, although Larry pointed out that I helped initiate the idea, it's been a collaborative effort from the beginning. There's longstanding Mumia organizations with networks, whether it's Mobilization for Mumia, International Concerned Friends for Mumia. And the idea of this action germinated with Zaid Muhammad, who's a member of the People's Organization for Progress, and my wife. So I just want to give credit where credit is due. And
absolutely.
When Mumia heard about this march, he is very insistent that this march not be solely focused on him because of the other issues that surround, you know, the incarceration of the elders with the medical neglect and the medical denial. And basically, you know, it almost becomes a death sentence if they put you behind bars for 20 to 30 years and don't give you adequate food or decent water or decent health care, you die in prison. But the more you learn about the state of incarceration in Pennsylvania, it's really ground zero in this country for incarceration. There's more juvenile lifers without parole than any other state in the country. And we're the only country in the world that gives juveniles life without parole, as well as trying juveniles in adult court. And there's additionally more adults with life without parole. And let's face it, life without parole is no different than the death sentence, because you're going to die in prison. It's just a matter of how long it takes before they kill you. And they've also been trying to kill Mumia in prison for the last 40 years. So this movement helps keep him alive by shining light on what they try and do with our prisoners.
Absolutely. Now you're reminding me, before I, of course, I'm originally from New York City and New Jersey, but I lived for a while in Pittsburgh and in the 70s, and I'm remembering now. the people I knew, especially I'm thinking of one person who was locked up in somewhere in Pennsylvania. It was very difficult for his family or friends to go visit him. I think we had to travel something like 7 or 8 miles. And he was incarcerated since he was a teenager. He was a foster child, and he became very active in Pittsburgh as an activist before he was locked up again. So, and I don't even know what became of him. They shipped him out of Pennsylvania into another prison. But it's as we know on WPFW, it's disgraceful how this country treats people, especially black people, locked up, and often too often locked up for life for almost no reason. So this is a good opportunity for those of you who can get out and march. Please go. Go for those of us who are unable to march right now. So I'm very thankful that you guys are doing this. We should have, I wish we could have a similar march and gathering for what's being done to so-called immigrants who are being snatched up and taken away. We need more kinds of actions like that for what's happening. I want to ask Larry. Larry, of course, was on last week as well, talking about a very different subject. We're talking about the fact that last Tuesday was the anniversary, was Veterans Day, and there was a very special event at the African American Civil War Memorial, reading of the names over 2,009 black soldiers who fought in the Civil War. People came from all over the region and all over the country, actually, to participate in those reading of the names. And Larry Ham was one of them.
Yeah. So, I drove down from New Jersey, and I heard about it on your show. And yet on another topic, but you had brothers and sisters on who brought up that topic. That's when I first heard about the reading. And this, it was such a wonderful event. And by the way, they were reading names of the 209,000,
yes,
145 black men and some women, by the way,
yes,
who also served in the Civil War, who fought and who turned the tide of the Civil War. You know, the North was not winning initially. Lee, with fewer men and fewer resources, were beating a kind of reluctant Union army. General Grant had to change, not General Grant, President Lincoln had to change supreme commanders because McClellan did not really exhibit a will to fight. And he replaced McClellan with Ulysses S. Grant. And and then they still weren't winning. And then finally, Lincoln issues the Emancipation Proclamation. It was a war measure. It did not free all slaves. It only freed those enslaved people that were in the states, parishes, and counties that were in rebellion. And then they had to get free themselves. It wasn't like they were automatically free. They were free if they could escape from their enslavers and joined the Union Army. And over 200,000 responded to the call, 186,000 in the Union Army alone, and then others in the Navy and others in the Coast Guard. And they, you know, turned the tide of the war. And that's one of the reasons that we're free today. That's why I felt compelled to come down. But going back to Mumia,
we go back to Mumia, let me just say that again. This was organized by Frank Smith, who was the founder of the African American Civil War Museum, yes, which is, yes, going to be opening up and expanding very shortly. It was quite a cross section of people that came out, including younger people. Dr. Greg Carr was there, many, many people. Yes, yes. And we all took turns reading the names. So it was quite a moving event. And I just want to share also, these days I'm spending most of my days in a rehab facility visiting my friend, and I was surprised. They give out a flyer, or, you know, every, mm-hmm, day to the people who were there in the rehab. And I was very happy to read something about November 15th, which of course was this past Saturday, November 15th, 1864. And I'm reading from the flyer, mm-hmm, that was circulated. Union General William Tecumseh Sherman, mm-hmm, launched his march to the sea. This was November 15th, 1864, departing from Atlanta with 62,000 soldiers to cripple the Confederacy by destroying its infrastructure, economy, and morale. And that was this Saturday. And I was just thankful to see this shared in a rehab facility. I didn't hear anything else about it, but that's quite an important date. November 15th, 1864.
It's quite important. And you can't really understand what's going on today with Trump, the MAGA movement, the Republicans, the fascist movement in this country. It all has its roots in the reasons for the Civil War, or the reason, which was slavery, the Reconstruction after the Civil War, and then the post-Reconstruction to, in fact, overturn everything that had been gained as a result of the Civil War. It's what's going on today in Washington and in this country is directly related to the Civil War.
Absolutely.
And the aftermath. And I just want to say a word about Sherman. You know, Sherman gave them hell. Mm-hmm. You know, Sherman said that he was going to teach the South the consequences of rebellion. And it was Sherman and his march toward the sea. And along the way, it was Sherman who expropriated slave masters' land through military orders, expropriated slave masters' land and gave it to the enslaved. And unfortunately, during during the Reconstruction, after the assassination of Lincoln, those military orders were overturned. And believe it or not, Union troops, which had fought to end slavery, went back now as federal troops and, in fact, took back the land that had been distributed to the enslaved people, you know, during the Civil War.
Yeah.
And it's quite a history.
Yes, it is. And let me just quickly say, and then we'll wrap up with sharing some of the information about the upcoming March for Justice. But if people would like to go back, last Monday we had not only Larry on, not only Frank Smith on, but we had Tina Wyatt, who is Harriet Tubman's great-great-great niece, joined us for the hour, as well as Frederick Douglass's descendant. So we had a great show last Monday. But let's get back to wrapping up where we are today. And Steve, real quick, we only have about 2 minutes left. Share again how people can find out about the upcoming March for Justice.
The easiest and most direct way is to go to March for Mumia.org, or if you need have specific questions, you can email us at marchformumia@gmail.com.
Okay, great. And Larry, how about your final words about
My final words, I want to give a shout out to some other folks that you've had as guests on this issue of freeing Mumia Abu-Jamal. You had Todd Stevens on your show, and I think you had Zaid Muhammad on your show.
Yes,
too,
we did.
At one point. And yes. I want to give a shout out to Pam Africa and Ramona Africa from the MOVE organization, who dedicated their lives to fighting for justice for Mumia Abu-Jamal. And I want to urge, as we close, please, folks in D.C., if you go to church, bring, if you can, if there's some way you can make an announcement about this event, please announce it in the church. Put it in the church bulletin. Sororities and fraternities, fraternal organization, Masons and Eastern Stars, Black Liberation Organizations, whatever you belong to, please help us to spread the word about this march. And remember, as Steve said, go to the website, marchformumia.org. And if you need even more information beyond what's on the website, you can call 862-240-6589, 862-240-6589. And once again, I want to thank Frank Smith, the director of the African American Civil War Memorial Museum, for having that wonderful event last week, which I was able to participate in.
Yes, it was great to see you there, Larry. And of course, Larry, give the dates. This march starts the day after Thanksgiving and goes to December 9th. I'm sitting here thinking about the Montgomery bus boycott, which started December 1st and went for a whole year. So we can take inspiration from that as well. But tell us again the final details, Larry, of when the march starts and ends.
The march will start on December 28th.
November 20th.
Oh, God. November 28th. The march will start on November 28th, Friday, November 28th. We'll start at Uncle Bobby's Cafe and Books in Philadelphia. We will march 103 miles, doing on average roughly about 8 miles a day, some days longer, some days shorter. And we will end on December 9th in Frackville, Pennsylvania. And we hope people will join us at the beginning or join with us along the way or greet us as we finish triumphantly at the end of the march.
Okay, thank you very much, Larry and Steve, for joining us today and for doing everything that you are doing to bring this together. I want to thank Kalia, our engineer today. Special thanks to Mari. Stay tuned for Make It Plain with Mark Thompson. Stay tuned to PFW 2 p.m. Dr. Theodore Watkins for To Your Health. And much, much more. We're going to be going out again, not with the Staple Singers, but with Mavis Staples, talking about Keep Your Eyes on the Prize, which we certainly must do now more than ever. Stay well and be strong.
In jail, had no money for to go their bail. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on, Paul and
Silas begin to shout. Doors pop open and all walked out. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Well, the only chains we can stand are the chains of hand in hand. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Got my hand on a freedom plow. Wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Keep your eyes on. Yeah. Hey, hey. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize. Yeah.
In November of 2015, Pan-African Community Action, also known as PACA, was born. Born from the struggle to win justice for youth educator Alonzo Smith, who was killed by special police in the Marbury Plaza apartment complex in Southeast D.C. On Saturday, November 22nd, PACA will commemorate its 10th anniversary with an evening of political education, cultural performances, and community building. Since its beginnings, PACA has popularized the idea of community control over police in D.C., led the popular education program, the Asada Shakur Study Group, and has positioned itself to launch the People's Pan-African Wellness Front to establish community control over healthcare in D.C. PACA invites you to celebrate this decade milestone Saturday, November 22nd, from 5 to 9 p.m. at Dar al-Hurriya Palestine House of Freedom, 650 Pennsylvania Avenue, Southeast, that will feature a performance by Son of Nun. Information and registration are at pacaturns10.eventbrite.com. That's P-A-C-A, turns the number 10, eventbrite.com. WPFW is your station for jazz and justice, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
WPFW presents Amplify Sudan, Wednesday, November 19th. A day of emancipatory, informational, and inspirational programming centering Sudanese sovereignty and the ongoing threat to peace and security for her people. From 5 a.m. until midnight, there will be discussions with activists, journalists, and the people most impacted by what's happening in Sudan, in addition to the presentation of music and poetry centering Sudan. That's Amplify Sudan, Wednesday, November 19th, 5 a.m. until midnight, on WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
أرض الخير أفريقيا مكاني زمن النور والعلم. I'm Muiza Muntali, host of Africa Now, and you're tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
This is
Make It Plain.
Make It Plain.
M-I-P. With my